Good morning, everybody. Welcome to today's teaching, John 15. Today will be Tuesday, the 27th of February. We're at the end of the month already. Can you believe it? It's already the end of the month. I'm in shock. I really am. This month went by so fast. Well, here we are. I'm going to be in John 15, starting with verse 9. I just want to remind you to go ahead and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Tom and Sarah Encountering God. You can subscribe to my podcast, Tom and Sarah Abounding Hope. And you can also like, comment, share on this page and all those pages as well. It helps get the word out and it helps support this ministry. Praise God. Reminder, I'm going to BSSM next year, starting in late August, early September. And I just believe God has something for me there, especially for this year, in preparation for the next season of my life, 30, 40 years or whatever it will be. And so I thank God for that. And I'm looking for, and one of the things that I have been longing for, and Sunday really brought it out, was the fact that I desperately want Holy Spirit. I don't want to just be visited by the Holy Spirit. I want to be endued with the Holy Spirit. I want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, yes, but I want Him to take up residence in me every day. That Holy Spirit would do these things that are so powerful in my life, making me the man of God I really, really, really want to be. And so I say all that because I don't want to minimize Holy Spirit in any manner, in any way. I want Holy Spirit to inhabit me. And I love an illustration by a pastor friend of mine, or he's not really a friend, I haven't really met him personally, but a pastor, a minister from Boston, who said this way: if you want a visitation, you're just dating the Holy Spirit. And it's a difference between dating and being inhabited by Holy Spirit. You're dating Him if you want a visitation. In other words, He can come over. You don't have to clean your house afterwards. You clean it before, but not after. And you just kind of wait till the next, quote, visitation. But a habitation, being inhabited by Holy Spirit, is much like a marriage. When your spouse, your wife moves in, and she kind of takes over everything. Her paintings go up on the wall, her pictures that she has goes up on the wall, the furniture she wants, the covers, the blankets, the sheets that she wants, the size bed she wants. The kitchen has to look and the dishes have to be exactly as she wants. That's how it has to be with Holy Spirit. My pastor, Bill Johnson, has this illustration of a dove, you know, sitting on your shoulder. And he says that, you know, and he'll ask people, how should you walk with the dove on your shoulder? And a lot of them say very carefully, which is true. But if you want to keep the dove on your shoulder, not only do you have to walk carefully, but every step that you take, everything that you do has the dove in mind. You grieve the Holy Spirit, you make Him sad. You quench the Holy Spirit when you take a fire extinguisher and put His fire out. I want Holy Spirit to inhabit me. That's my desire. That's my goal in life. Every day, to have Holy Spirit inhabit me. Just asking Him for an increased habitation in my heart. So we're going to read John 15, and You know, remember Jesus had said previously in John 14 that he was leaving and he's going to leave the Holy, if he goes, the Holy Spirit comes. Somebody just like him. Okay? Verse 9 of chapter 15. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. Do you love the same way God loves you? I love that verse in Matthew 6. He says, forgive me my sins, implied against you. David says this in Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned, even though he sinned with Bathsheba. You sin against God and man. Okay? And he says, if you forgive men their sins, God will forgive you. He says, Lord, forgive my trespasses against you in the same manner, in the same way that I forgive those who have sinned against me. Because if you forgive men their sins against you, your heavenly Father will forgive your sins against him. If you don't, then he won't. In the same manner that you forgive, he forgives. John says this, and I think it's in 1 John. He says, how can you say that you love your brother, or that you love God and hate your brother? You can't. And I love how Jesus says this. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. And I kind of got this image of a farmer or somebody working a garden. They till the soil, they water it, they fertilize it, they nourish the soil so that the plant or whatever it is can grow. Let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love. So how do we love? We keep his commands. What are God's commands? The law, 932 plus, I heard it was 969, but whatever the number is, now over 900 laws of the old of Moses' books. And the prophets and the poetry are summed up in two commands of the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second, found in Leviticus, love your neighbor in the same manner that you love yourself. So if you keep those two, you will live in his love. You love God and you love people. Now, I want to say that that does not excuse what they do. But if you love somebody, you're going to bring... I loved my children, but if they did something that was dangerous to them, I corrected them. We are starting to reap a society of no consequences. We are starting to see the fruits of the timeout generation. Now, I'm not in favor of child abuse, don't get me wrong, but I am in favor of correction. Jesus corrects us. And that word correction actually means to shift the rudder so the ship can go in the correct direction. Our GPS corrects us if we make a wrong turn or if we pass our exit. It says recalculating. So basically the GPS looks at where you are, sees where you are going, and rearranges your route. If you make a mistake, rearranges the route so you can get back to where you were going so that you can reach your destination. That's what correction does. Doesn't mean you beat the kid to death. just means that, you know, you're correcting the course. They're better than that. The Holy Spirit convicts us by saying, you're better than that. That's not who you are. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. What were the Father's commands? Heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes, forgive. He only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father say. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. I'm telling you these things so that the joy that I have will fill you up. So this is my command. Love each other deeply as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. In other words, greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. Just by way of commercial, as we go into other things, like I said, I'm going to school next year. If you want information on how you can give into that ministry, TomandSarahMinistries@gmail.com. We take Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, and GoFundMe. There's Zelle, Bethel is going to send me a link to donate into my schooling. So if you want any of those, go ahead and email me, TomandSarahMinistries@gmail.com. Share this video, comment, like it. Go to my YouTube channel, Tom and Sarah, and like the page, follow, subscribe to the page. Go to my podcast, subscribe, and like and comment on each of those as well. Okay, so let's go back. I do have two books for sale, too, before we get back. One of them is called SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God, and the other one is called From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. You can get them on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also Walmart.com. You can get them through that. It's easier to do that, but you can email me for more information, TomandSarahMinistries@gmail.com. Those are ways that you can help support this ministry. So this is my command. Love each other deeply. Okay? And in other words, seek the highest good for someone without having any thought of being recompensed or having anything brought back to you. That's called disinterested benevolence. You're giving benevolence without an interest of having it returned. Doesn't mean it doesn't get returned. It just means that there's no interest in it. God, whatever you want to do. Greater love has no man but that you laid down your life for your friends. God so loved the world. It's the same word. God so loved the world that he gave. Verse 13 of chapter 15. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. Now I remember Whitney Houston said, because the greatest love of all. You know, it's happening today, it's in each of us, etc. God planted love in our hearts. The greatest love sacrifices. And this love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life, willingly lays down his life for his friends. The Aramaic word for that is family, relatives. And so when you have a friend, a true friend. Now, I have a friend in New Jersey. I've known him for 50 plus years. His name is George. And him and his wife, Marianne, I've known them for years. And their family Just like my blood family, they are family as well. I have people here in Reading that are family. And they may not be blood, but they are family as well. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. Okay, I love this. We are all branches of one vine. Okay? If we don't love one another, the fellowship in the vine is cut off. In other words, if you don't love one another, if you don't treat each other the way that God treats you, the golden rule, you're cutting off the supply to that person. To bear fruit on a vine comes from the whole vine working together. We are not branches of many vines. We are branches of one vine. And we can't cut off. And that is what love does. It keeps it open. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13 in a second. You show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all. If you make it a habit, if you make it your habit to obey what Jesus commands us, okay, don't make it a thing that you do, make it your habit. And then he says, I have never called you servants. That's what the Aramaic translates it as. The Greek says, I will no longer call you servants. It just means slaves. I'm not going to call you slaves. Why not? Because a master does not confide in his servants. And his servants don't always understand what the master is doing. Those of you who have 9-to-5 jobs especially, and are not owners of a business, how many times has your boss come up to you and said, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm planning to do? Usually what they do is they tell you what to do. They don't tell you why to do it. Do it this way. In the army, they follow the commands. Why not? Well, because there's no time to explain when you're in the military. There's no time to just do it. Nike has a whole advertising thing. Just do it. The master does not confide in his servants, and his servants don't always understand what the master's doing. There's many times I didn't understand what my boss was doing, but I did it. And then at the end, I saw what was happening. I'm like, oh, okay, I understand that. And he says, but I call you my most intimate friends. The word that's used there is those cared for from the womb. You are more than a friend to God. You were born again from his wounded side. You are more than a friend. You're intimate with him. Another way to say intimate is into me you see. Intimacy. But I call you my most intimate friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. He's invited us as dinner guests to go on into maturity, is what he's saying. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. In his name, in his character, he will give it to us. So this is my parting command: love one another deeply. Many people friends, otherwise, have, when they're on their deathbed, the most important things are said at that moment. The most important thing to Jesus with that was that the disciples would love each other intimately. His departing words on earth are to us, says, love each other intimately. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Okay. Chapter 13, verse 6. Love joyfully celebrates honesty, finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat because it never gives up. Love never gives up. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It believes all things. It doesn't mean it's gullible. It just means that it believes the best. It hopes for the best. It endures because the best is coming. Our trials bring forth endurance. Our trials bring forth endurance. Patient endurance in a lot of respects. So God says, Jesus says this, my departing command to you, I'm going to be going tonight, I'm going to be having an illegal trial, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be scourged. My parting command to you is get revenge for me. No. My parting command is, you know, do what you can to protect me. No. My parting command is that you love one another deeply. We see this in Jesus' life many, many times. John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. He didn't say she didn't sin. He just said, where are your accusers? Not nowhere. Well, I'm not going to condemn you either. If they're not going to condemn you, I'm not going to condemn you. Remember, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus' whole life was built on love. The reason why he got on the Pharisees' case was because the Pharisees did not love the people that he healed on the Sabbath. They were more concerned about the Sabbath than they were about the people that Jesus healed. They were more concerned about him claiming to be God than they were about the miracles that were being happening to people who have been under the influence of the enemy for so long. Remember, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. We didn't choose him, he chose us. He lined up 8 billion people against the wall and he said, I want you. I want you. If that doesn't blow your mind, nothing will. He loves you that much and he trusts you that much with his love to give to other people. Becoming a Christian has very little to do with just about you. It has a lot to do with them. People around you. All right, well, that's enough for today. I want to thank you for joining me. Remember, like, share, comment on these videos. Let's see, go to my YouTube channel, subscribe, go to my podcast, subscribe, and you can get it. All right, well, God bless you. Just another commercial is that my friend Annette Biggers has a video or a show coming out, The Great Arising, and it's at noontime on the West Coast, and you can go to it. Annette Biggers, if you look at her YouTube channel, literally it's just spelled exactly how it sounds. Annette with two N's, two T's. Biggers, you know, it's like B-I-G-G-E-R-S. And you can go to her channel and go get it. All right. Well, God bless you guys. I want to thank you for joining me today. And we'll see you tomorrow.